Today is July 8th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $30,264.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, same old, same old. Just another weekend.
Yeah, did you have a good 4th?
No, not really.
That's no bueno, man.
I know.
What happened?
I know.
Did you have to work?
I just helping my parents move. So
yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's slave labor there.
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, at least earning something.
Are any of your siblings assisting with that?
My brother is, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, at least you got a little bit of support.
Yeah, but he's probably helping more than me. God rest his soul.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, so what, we had a Bitcoin high this week for the year of 2023. We hit, I want to say it was $31,500. And then we got rejected off of that. So we got dropped back down to where we currently are now. However, you know, so we got the rejection of 31,500. We came back down and some of that rejection came off. And I think I sent you the news where some of the drop came down from initial filings from the SEC on BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF. They said that they were inadequate. So
yeah,
basically they had to name, I think what they had to do is they had to clarify what exchange they were going to be operating it off of to purchase the Bitcoin. And they had already said that they were going to be using Coinbase to house, but I guess they had not clarified that Coinbase was also who they were going to use to make their purchases. So the BlackRock ETF, it wasn't a rejection per se. It was just basically, hey, this is inadequate. We need you to redo this. So they did reproduce their paperwork and said they sent that back over. Along with ARK Invest, Fidelity, I think it was the CBOE, and a few others actually have all kind of refiled theirs as well. So everybody's kind of refiled. An interesting topic on that, though, is that ARK Invest, I think their termination or their determining, I guess, vote from the SEC is supposed to be coming next month in August. So,
which determination are you talking about there?
So ARK Invest had submitted an application for a Bitcoin ETF quite a while back. And their ruling is supposed to be coming from the SEC in August.
Okay.
So they may be first ones out the gate if there's going to be an approval. We may not, you know, it seems like BlackRock is almost still going to be the guaranteed horse. And maybe they'll delay that approval until BlackRock comes through, and then they'll approve that one. It just, I mean, considering good old boy club, right?
Right.
So, it's kind of interesting. If they reject ARK, and that's Kathy Wood's group. For those of you that may not know it, she's pretty pro Bitcoin.
Yeah, she's totally jumped on the Bitcoin hype train.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting about her with, when you think about this, with the purchases, she made a lot of purchases of Coinbase stock earlier this year. And a lot of people were confused as to why. And even when Coinbase was dropping in price, she continued to buy.
She probably knew something.
Well, and it seems like it, right? Like, I mean, because all these companies are looking like they're going to be using Coinbase for their holdings and for the purchasing.
Yep. So that means a lot of activity at Coinbase and a lot more money.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's, maybe she did know something. Maybe she had conversations with some of these folks. Kind of before we got going, we were talking a little bit about Larry Fink and his viewpoints on Bitcoin, right?
Right.
And for those of you that don't know, Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock.
And previous comments included something about, crypto and Bitcoin are used for basically money laundering and purchasing illegal, basically illegal activities and money laundering.
And now his tune has completely changed from what it was before, where he was basically saying it was being used for illicit activities, money laundering. And now he sounds a lot like a Bitcoiner whenever you hear some of the words that he's saying now. And he's quoted as saying, what we're trying to do with crypto is make it more democratized with all of crypto and making it much cheaper for investors, which we still kind of, we're not sure what he means by that, right? Like, unless he's going to kill the price. Fink said it during the interview on the Clayman Countdown, the bid spread for crypto is very expensive. It does erode a lot of the returns because it costs a lot of money right now to transact Bitcoin, and it costs a lot of money to get that, get out of that. And so we hope that our regulators look at these filings as a way to democratize crypto, and we'll see in the future how that plays out. He also made comments to where he was likening Bitcoin to digital gold, which we've heard that before. And how it would, a big plus to it was that it was not, it was the international asset, and that it was not being, it's not under the pressure of political deflation.
Or just one, any government, it has no government has influence over it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So, time will tell. We have until, I think they have 290 days from the filing, from the initial filing, and that's if the SEC continues to pause their ruling on the Bitcoin ETF, or whether they accept or deny. So we'll have some time, but I mean that coincides perfectly with the halving for this coming year. I think the deadline would be sometime in February, and then we have our halving happening in May. So
April, May-ish, somewhere in there.
somewhere in that time frame. I mean, so we'll have to see what happens with that. But that's, I think it's exciting news, but at the same time, it's scary because, I mean, what does he mean by it's expensive? We're going to make it cheaper. I don't know what that means.
Well, the only thing I can say, like looking at it from a positive light, is they may be a good off ramp for people who want to get into crypto, but they don't want to deal with, some of the technicalities. They're just a little bit scared. And I think that it's not going to help with the price per se, but it's going to help with the ease of use.
Yeah. The only way that I see it helping with price, but it depends on how they do it, is if the purchasing that they do really restricts the amount of Bitcoin available. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and that kind of goes, that's my kind of concern with it. If they're trading paper backed, Bitcoin things, I mean, they may not be real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that could definitely depress the price if, you know what I mean,
Yeah.
they're flooding the market with fake Bitcoin.
Yeah, because they may have paper that is far less. I mean, they could end up having, $42 million or 42 million Bitcoin all of a sudden. Meanwhile, all of us that have actual Bitcoin, I think that goes back to, I think Jack Dorsey was talking about this the other day. He said the best thing to do is go buy your Bitcoin off the exchange and get it off there. We've talked about that on this podcast before. If you take it off the exchanges, they have less to leverage with. They have less to trade with. So, I mean, if you really could soak some of that stuff up and just get it out of the exchanges, they wouldn't be able to fake the market the way that they do.
Yeah, fractional reserve Bitcoin.
Yeah. But I mean, there's a lot of responsibility that goes in with that, right? They don't want to be bothered. You've got people that are, traditional investors that do not want to be bothered with having to deal with seed phrases and their cold storage of crypto or anything like that. They want it to be simple.
Yeah.
And then kind of coming up on that too, we keep on talking about the CBDCs and FedNow and those types of things. And apparently the New York Fed just published the results of a proof of concept for CBDCs with major banks. So from a central banking perspective, this is a quote: The proof of concept we conducted to explore tokenized regulated deposits and understanding the potential functional benefits of central bank and commercial bank digital money operating together on a shared ledger, said Peter Zonzelowitz, director of the New York Innovation Center. So the experiment successfully simulated both domestic and cross-border scenarios, identifying shared ledger technology as a potential solution to support payment innovation. I wonder if it says, and I don't think it does call out which banks they actually did the test on, but this is one of the things that scares me the most as we continue to move forward, you know, into the remainder of this year and into the next political cycle, you know, with elections coming up, is CBDCs.
Well, it looks like they're coming no matter what. They're slowly trickling out that information on it. So, I mean, I think that's going to be kind of how we move forward. And we're going to have to set up some time. If you don't want to be a part of that, you have to be part of some type of parallel economy.
Yeah.
That doesn't support that.
Yeah. And that's absolutely true. Part of me is glad that the Fed is trying to finally advance some of the systems that they have in place. Unfortunately, I really want them to just adopt Bitcoin as the financial backbone for the future.
Yeah. Well, the Fed gets their power from printing the money creation, you know, all the things that go with that. And yeah. Bitcoin, that doesn't allow them to just make funny money. I mean, the money is capped. The way it's produced is programmed. You know, it's following the protocol. That's totally not their style. And what their style is more control, more just basically evil. Yeah. I mean, and that's what scares me about the CBDC is there's going to be a whole lot of strings attached with that money. You're going to be taxed way more on it. They're going to know exactly what you've been earning. They're going to track you. And then if you step out of line, they can pull all your money or pull your access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in that it all goes back to that control thing. And they're going to try and wrap it up in this nice, pretty bow to get people to want to embrace a CBDC. And unfortunately, I do think a majority of the people will fall for it.
I would say at least half,
yeah,
probably more, maybe 60%, 70%.
Yeah. I mean,
realistic.
I don't know how they'll incentivize it. I don't know what they'll do. You'll have people that are that are going to be completely against it, that don't want to have that full surveillance, I guess is the way to look at it, of what they do with their money. So I don't know. I think dark days are coming for that kind of thing, and it's going to be a pretty crazy battle. I mean, we still have BRICS is supposed to make an announcement here pretty soon about what they're going to do with their currency, whatever the case may be with that. We've got this coming from the CBDCs, the CBDCs coming from the Fed. You know, they're doing tests. Fed now is supposed to launch. I thought it was supposed to have launched last month, but it looks like maybe it's launching at the end of this month, which is supposed to be for the back end, right? It's not supposed to be for retail investors like us or retail customers, but that's just a step away. I mean, at what point do we become corporations within the Fed's eyes and we get the same treatment as what banks do?
I'm pretty sure our treatment will be a lot less amenable than the banks.
Probably right. And kind of just to wrap this up, I wanted to bring up, there was a quote from Arthur Hayes insisting that Bitcoin will be the currency of artificial intelligence. And Arthur Hayes, he envisions AI and Bitcoin forming an alliance, predicts price soaring to 760,000. So for those of you that don't know, Arthur Hayes was a chief executive over at BitMEX and served and shared several essays on the Crypto Hayes Substack blog. He delved into Bitcoin and artificial intelligence. And he basically says that Bitcoin itself will serve, because it's energy-based, will serve as food of AI. So, you know, kind of before we got going, you know, it'd be kind of interesting if AI started hoarding Bitcoin.
Yep, they'd probably be the best hodlers ever.
Yeah, they wouldn't care about the price. You know what's interesting about that too is that right after this came out, because this came out, I believe, what's the date on this? I don't see it on here, but it came out yesterday. Today it was announced that Lightning Labs has actually developed a toolkit to allow AI to use the Lightning Network to transfer Bitcoin amongst AI systems on their own without the need for people to intervene.
It's almost scary.
Yeah, kind of creepy. A little bit creepy. But
I don't know. Skynet's not here yet, so stack them Satoshis is what you can, right?
Yeah, they'll become the biggest wallets out there. Oh, and one last thing too. Did you see MicroStrategy bought 100 like another round of Bitcoin? I don't want to quote the numbers because I don't have them in front of me.
Yeah, I did see that on Twitter he posted that they purchased a ton again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, ridiculous. And I mean, people wonder who's buying that Bitcoin whenever the prices are low. It's like, well, there you go.
And the whale.
Realistically, I mean, from our discussion before this all started today, before we started recording, we're probably never going to see Bitcoin. Like once we get through this halving cycle going into 2024, we'll probably never see Bitcoin at this price again.
Realistically, yeah.
Hopefully.
I mean, knock on wood. There was a time we were at 69,000 and nice. We were like, man, we are so past 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, we found out that we're not. So let's not get too greedy about that. But, you know, here's to hope.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know about 769,000 this cycle, not unless there's some sort of crazy shortage that happens with Bitcoin. But I do really want to see $100,000 Bitcoin. I personally thought it was going to happen the last cycle, and it didn't. But this time, I'm pretty confident that we should see that.
Yeah, go open up a whiskey and celebrate when that day happens.
Yeah, yeah, we're all going to get tomahawk steaks when that happens.
That's right.
But was there anything else you wanted to add to this episode today?
That's it for me.
Yeah. Real quick, just keep an eye out. Newsletters will be coming here pretty soon. And then of course we'll have to have you sign up for email so we can get your newsletters going out to you, and we'll have some affiliate links in there for you as well. And hopefully some merch coming pretty soon. So
merch.
Thank y'all for listening.
Bye.